As we enter into this third week of our Advent season, as we just mentioned, we are talking about joy on today. Remind you of Romans chapter 15 before we get there. You're supposed to have this scripture committed to memory by now, but since I don't, I'm going to read it. Like I'll let you off the hook. I said, since I don't, I'm going to read it. It says, May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I keep encouraging you. Go ahead and add that one to your memory banks. Amen. The God of hope. Let him, what's wrong? What's the address? Romans 15 and 13. Romans 15 and 13. The God of hope, may he continue to give you joy and peace. Amen. Remember, it's as you trust in him. All right. And then we talked about joy, the God of joy. Right? We want to trust in him as well, because he is going to, the God of peace, because he is going to give us peace. Amen? The God of peace. I want to bring your attention today as we move to joy. I want to bring your attention to 1 Peter chapter 1. And I'm wanting to read verses 3 through 9 in 1 Peter chapter 1. That will be where we began our journey, looking at joy. For we want to be overflowing with hope. We want to be overflowing with peace. We want to be overflowing with joy. When you found that, if you could stand to your feet so that we can read this together. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Some of you are still searching. I'll give you just a couple of more seconds to find it. Amen. And we will read together. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. Let's read. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, salvation of your souls. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for your word that you have given to us, which is alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Father, we thank you that your word is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that every man and woman of God might be thoroughly equipped for every good work that, Lord, you've assigned to our hands. And so we pray now that, God, you will anoint my tongue with grace and truth. Make it like the pen of a ready writer. God, give us ears that, Lord, are able to hear what the Spirit has to say, and condition our hearts to receive it, such that when it is planted, we will produce a crop 60, 30, 60, 100 fold. We thank you in Jesus' name. And the people of God said, amen, amen. You may be seated. Today we want to talk about overflowing joy. In that text, you may have seen it as inexpressible and glorious joy. When the praise team was singing, you may have heard it as not a feeling, but a living hope. That's what joy is. Overflowing joy. You're familiar with a scripture that we often use many times when folks are talking about giving. They're saying that we want it to be pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Amen? Into your lap, into your bosom, so much so that you don't have room enough to receive. That's what we're thinking about with this overflowing hope, this overflowing peace, this overflowing joy that the Spirit of God has promised to give us. We don't want just a little drop. Amen? We've got to get rid of that scarcity mentality. Come on, say to God, I want it all. Amen. Are y'all scared? Y'all don't believe in talking, do you? You know what? I'm going to act like we're in one of the mega churches today, and I'm going to have you just keep repeating what I'm saying. Because you need to talk. You need to open up your mouth and to declare true. You're looking at me like I'm crazy. I'm not making this up. This is from the Word of God. He said you need to open up your mouth and act like you want it all. If it was J.G. Wentworth talking about opening up his window, talking about I want it all, you'd be a, I want it all. When it comes to material stuff, we do crazy things because we want it all. Amen. We'll go stand in line for a good deal. And don't let them say it's free. We'll show up early because when it comes to material things that we can see, touch, and feel and think that we need, we'll go to great lengths to try to get it. But when it comes to things of the Spirit of God, we get lazy and don't want to work. We be like, no, if God said it's mine, it's mine. Not realizing that you got a role to play in receiving what God has provided for you. Don't you know the enemy of your soul does not want you to have hope? The enemy of your soul does not want you to have peace. And can I just tell you, he does not want you to have joy. He works overtime trying to steal, trying to kill, and trying to destroy. And you and I are helping him when we keep quiet and when we don't profess and confess the word of the Lord. You've got to open up your mouth and declare what God has for me is for me. And I'm going to take it if I have to. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This joy that he wants us to have, he wants it to be overflowing. He wants it to be overflowing. Because the source from which you and I get it is an abundant, never-ending, limitless supply of joy. He says the only reason you don't get it all is because you choose not to. It is your choice. Our joy is not determined, is not measured by, it is not a product of the quantity or the value of the gifts that we will have under the tree. Amen. Our joy is not going to be based on, it's not a product, it's not determined by the amount or type of food that we will have on our tables. Our joy comes from the truth, recognizing the truth that on the very first Christmas, God gave to humanity, God gave to you and to me the very best gift that he had to offer. And that was his beloved son, Jesus Christ. And then our joy is found in this truth that Jesus gave his life so that you and I could experience God's best, being reconciled and being restored in a relationship with God the Father, that we would know him and that he would know us. When that is where your joy is steeped in, all the stuff that's going on around you, because the world didn't give you your joy, the world cannot then take your joy away. Amen? That your eyes then are looking in a different place, and your heart is connected to a different place that brings you a joy that pierces through the darkness and that does not dampen your spirit. Because joy then is that emotion. It is that condition. It is that state of the mind, that state of contentment that expresses hope even in the midst of hard times. That's what joy is. And when our joy is not based upon what we are receiving, when our joy is not based upon the things that are going on around us, when our joy is not based upon how people are treating us, we can be steady in expressing and having a joy that is inexpressible and glorious. Amen? Amen. Romans 14 and 17 remind us of this truth, that the kingdom of God is not about what you're going to eat. It's not about what you're going to wear. But it is about joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost, in the Spirit of the living God. Amen. The way Paul said it, he said, it doesn't matter whether I have plenty or whether I have little. I've learned how to be content and maintain my joy. And so in the midst of being locked up, I can still rejoice. Amen. When our joy is rooted and anchored in the right place, when we understand that the source of our joy is from God himself, that comes by the power of his Holy Spirit, that no matter what's going on, we can still rejoice. What do you mean I got a disconnect notice? I will yet rejoice in the Lord. Because I don't need lights to rejoice. Amen. Plus, I know Charles Bedford, and I can go over to his house. Because he got a room just for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. In other words, it is not my circumstances that allow me to rejoice. It is the one with whom I'm connected to, the source of my strength, the source of my life that allows me to rejoice even in the midst of trials and tribulations. Because I know that there is nothing that is too difficult for the one that I am connected to. I know that he is more than able to go above and beyond anything that I could ever ask, think, or imagine according to his power that is at work, not only in me, but it is also at work in the world. That I know that he has all the resources that I need, and he has promised that he will supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory. And sometimes he has chosen that he will meet my needs by the body of believers by which he has placed me in. So sometimes he's going to tell you to reach in your pocket and buy me some groceries. And so I'm not going to be beat down because I ain't got enough in the cupboard. I know that my God who sees me can talk to you and tell you to bring me a bag over. Amen. He might tell you to swing by Quick Trip and get me a gas card. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, nah. Come on, y'all. Because he has said that he will take and use us to be a blessing in one another's lives. And so then we don't allow our circumstances to dictate our response to God and our outward expression to people. Because even in the midst of it, we still have joy. Amen? Even in the midst of it, we still have joy. And it is especially in the midst of it that you have to open up your mouth and remind yourself of why you have joy. Don't you know when you open up your mouth and start rehearsing why you have joy, the things that are occupying your mind have to leave and flee because you can't think about those things while you're worshiping and praising God, the one who gives you joy. If you want to deal with worry and anxiety in your life, then allow yourself to begin rehearsing and worshiping and praising God for who he is. If you start doing that, more than trying to answer the problem that's in front of you, God is going to give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. And in the middle of your praise, God is going to set up an ambush for the one that might be messing with you. God going to deal with him because he said, if you just be still, I'll fight your battle. While you're praising, God going to open up a door just for you. Because God has a way of opening up doors that can't nobody see. You didn't even know it was a door right there. God say, I got secret passageways. And if you're willing to trust me, praise me, and follow me, I'll take you down paths and lead you in paths of righteousness. And give you opportunity that you didn't even know was there. All because you chose to focus on him. Your provider instead of the stuff that has been messing with your mind. He wants us to be overflowing with hope. He wants us to be overflowing with peace. He wants us to be overflowing with joy. And I may as well go and tell you, we need to be overflowing with joy these days because there's enough bad stuff going around us that if you're not overflowing, that thing might just overtake you. Amen? Can I just tell you, it's enough sickness and disease going around that if you're not overflowing with joy, that thing might just overtake you. You've got to be overflowing. Can I tell you what happens when you overflowing with joy? The stuff that comes and starts messing with you, you know what happens? It drowns. That's what happens. It drowns when you are overflowing. Washed away. Prophet Isaiah said it this way. When the enemy comes against you, it says like a flood, God raises up a standard to deal with the attack of the enemy. Brothers and sisters, you and I have to know that God has loved us so much and he has provided us with everything that we need. And you and I have to stand on his word, walk in faith, and be overflowing. So when stuff comes to try to destroy you, it can't, because you are anchored in him. You're floating in him. Overflowing with joy. Hallelujah. Oh, you say, I can go ahead and stop now? But I had some more, I wonder. I had some more I wanted to share. The anchor text that you and I were in, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9, it's really more than an anchor text. It's nothing more for us today than an anchor text. Because in that, you and I get a picture of this Advent that we have talked about. Remember, the Advent is where we recognize the incarnation, the coming of Jesus Christ. But we're also looking for the return of Christ. Advent is that word about coming. It is going to be the return of Christ that you and I get to see. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9, what you get is the expression of Peter, who was a follower of Jesus Christ, who was an eyewitness to the works of Jesus Christ, who was one who was there when Jesus was crucified, but he was also there when he was raised from the dead. Peter tells you and me that we have a living hope in Jesus Christ. And as he goes through, he talks about his resurrection. He's describing what Jesus did for us and the fact that you and I have been purchased with something so precious as the blood of Jesus Christ that nothing else compares. And he says that you haven't seen him, but yet you love him. And then he says on top of that, not only do you love him, you believe him. And you believe that what he has declared will come to pass in your life. And it comes in such a way, he says, it is an inexpressible joy. Look at verse 8, and then we're going to move. Verse 8. It says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him. And look at what happens. As you believe in him, what? You are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. As you believe, you are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. As you believe in him, God is doing something in you. He is filling you up with a joy that can't be contained. And he is helping you to walk this journey. And he says, you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. What that means is that the work that God began in you, he is going to see to completion. That's why you and I are not the same that we were on yesterday. Amen? Because he is working in us. His mercies are new every morning. He is working in us and he is bringing about change every day. He is working in us and his word is bringing about transformation. His spirit is doing a work in us that is bringing about the salvation of our souls. And that is by joy. This emotion of great delight, this thing that we get excited about when something exceptional is happening. Can I tell you that Jesus Christ coming as a human is something to get excited about? Amen. It was something to get excited about. Let me take you to a couple of places just that we have an expression, an illustration, examples of what this joy looked like. Let's begin with Mary and Elizabeth in Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 45. You remember that story well, because it is after Mary has received a visit from the angel and she has believed what the angel has declared. She said to the angel, I am the Lord's servant. May it be done to me just as you said. And it is almost as this, at that moment, what the angel had declared, because the angel had said, the Spirit of the Lord is going to come up on you and you will be with child. At the moment that she opened her mouth and said, let it be done, it's almost like it happened right there. Then Mary decided to make a visit to her relative, Elizabeth, who had experienced her own miracle, because in her old age, God had given her the privilege to become a mother. Elizabeth was about 6 months pregnant when Mary received the word that she would become the mother of Jesus Christ. Though she is 6 months pregnant, Elizabeth has not gone outside of her home because she has been waiting for this thing for a long time and she don't need anybody getting in her business. Amen. But Mary, upon hearing the news from the angel that your relative Elizabeth is also pregnant with a child and she is in her 6 months, Mary says, I got to go see her. So then Luke chapter 1 verses 39 through 45 talk about Mary in that visit. Let me read this for you. It says, at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, come on, somebody say, in a loud voice. Ooh, y'all sound good. She exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as I heard the sound of your greeting reach my ears, the baby in my womb leaped. What did it leap for? Leap for joy. So joy has an expression, doesn't it? Amen. Amen. Y'all better be glad I can't sing. Because if when they was up there singing that song, they was up there singing, man, I would have been up here bouncing, boy, because that stuff was getting good. And they started talking about the joy, the joy. Let me get it. Thank you, brother. I'm going to get back to the joy. I would have, oh, that was good. Because joy has an expression. Amen. You can't talk about you full of joy. Thank you. It has an expression. She says, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. So joy will make you do something. And then she says, blessed is she who has believed. Ooh, that gets back to that word we just talked about, right? You remember when we were over in Peter, he was talking about believing. And because you have believed what you were being filled with. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. And so we have Mary and Elizabeth. When Mary walks in, remember, Mary is carrying Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. When Mary walks into the house, her voice jumps out and hits Elizabeth's ears. Elizabeth is carrying John the Baptist, who will be the forerunner for Jesus Christ. John already has his assignment before he ever shows up. Nobody has to ask John, what do you want to be when you grow up? Nobody has to ask John, what are you good at? No, it has already been identified to his mama and his daddy who this boy gonna be. This boy is going to be the one who tells others about the good news of the Savior that is coming. He is going to be the one who preaches, who proclaims. He's going to be the one who runs and tell folk he's on his way. And so his job has already been given to him. It's just a matter of him waiting until he is old enough, or excuse me, for the right time for him to begin his public ministry. But I love what happens that when Mary shows up with Jesus, the baby in Elizabeth's womb gets happy because the Savior just showed up. Mary is carrying Jesus, the Son of God, the one who was conceived and born by the Spirit of the living God, who is fully God himself. Mary got God on the inside of her. Uh-oh. When Mary with God on the inside of her shows up in Elizabeth's house, and Elizabeth has the child of promise also on the inside of her, the one who has said that this will be the forerunner, there is one who is coming in the spirit of Elijah. See, God then already prophesied all of this. When he hears, something happens. Not only does John get excited, but did you notice that Elizabeth got excited too? Elizabeth got excited because Jesus showed up with Mary. Oh, I'm just going to pause because we got to keep going. Do people get excited when you show up with Jesus? You know I had to go there. Because joy has an expression, right? Amen? When you carry Jesus, you're carrying hope. You do know that Christ is in you. I know we always speak in terms of the Spirit of God who has come to be with us. But remember what Jesus said. Jesus said, I am sending another just like me. Wait a minute. If you believe in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. Remember Jesus? Jesus becomes the image of the invisible God. Jesus is the one that when we see him, we see what God looks like. But he is still fully God. And when the Spirit comes, even though the Spirit comes and he is filling each one of us who have believed in him, it is Christ in us. What is he? The hope of glory. And so wherever you show up, you are carrying with you the hope of glory. And it ought to solicit a response from those around you who have been called into his family. Amen? Now, I'm going to say this and move on because there are some folk who won't get excited about the fact that you got the hope of glory because they haven't been called into his family. Some folk will get mad at you because you got the hope of glory and they're going to talk about you because you got the hope of glory. Don't worry about them. They ain't been called into his family. Don't mean that you stop praying for them because there are some folk who have been called into his family. They just don't realize it yet. Amen. Paul was like that. He didn't realize he had been called into his family. But what happens is when you who carry the hope of glory get hooked up with someone else who has been called into glory, there's going to be an exchange. Your spirit ought to minister to their spirit and there ought to be something that happens that brings them out of wherever they are, that brings you out of wherever you are so that on together you guys are lifting up a great praise and having an expression of joy unto the Lord. In fact, you always carry hope with you wherever you go. Even if you're telling somebody about the problem that you might be experiencing, you always end that problem talking about the hope that you have and the fact that the God that you serve is going to take care of the problem that you got. Amen? You never end it with just my problem. Now, my problem has an answer, and his name is Jesus. So Mary and Elizabeth have this great expression of joy that shows up because Jesus is present. Amen. Made them leap inside the womb. There's also another group that had a similar expression at the coming of Jesus, and that was the angels and the shepherds, as is in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. where the angels and the shepherds get excited about what has happened. When you begin in Luke chapter 2, if you read those first seven verses, they just really talk about the birth of the Messiah, talk about the birth of Jesus, which is extremely important. Because an announcement comes to the angels, to the shepherds, then there is an expression that they have. So when you get a chance, you read Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, because it will unpack for you, again, really quickly, the birth of Christ and give you some details around it. But beginning in verse 8 of chapter 2, these words are found. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all the things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Well, that believing thing showed up again, didn't it? The angel comes and he brings a message. They believe and they go see. And what does it result in? It results in them being filled with joy. So much so that now they've got to carry the message to somebody else. They've got to go tell somebody what they have seen. And when they finish carrying the message, that joy still didn't leave them. For when they made it back to their jobs, it says that they were still glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. Your joy, when you got the right kind of joy, it'll make you talk about it. Amen. It's like a fire shut up in your bones. You got to talk about it. When Jesus been good to you, you can't keep that to yourself. Amen. You waiting for an opportunity to let it come out. And even if you say to yourself, I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to tell anybody about it. It's almost like you like in the stall, like, you know, when they have the horses or the dogs getting ready to race and they got them and they won't open the gate and they sitting there kicking, waiting. Let me out. It's the way it be all off in your system. I got to tell somebody about the goodness of God as it has been expressed unto me. Because when you have the goodness of God at work in your life, the joy of God needs to come out and you've got to tell somebody about it. Amen. And see, this is why it's good that you and I remember that the goodness of God just doesn't show up in material things. Amen. Remember, the kingdom of God is not about what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink. It is about righteousness, it's about peace, and it's about joy in the Holy Spirit. It's about the Spirit of God being at work in you, bringing about transformation in your life. It's about the Spirit of God being at work in you, giving you fresh new revelation and allowing you to see the works of God. It's about the Spirit of God being at work in you and you bringing forth the power of heaven to bear on the situations and circumstances around you. That's what the kingdom of God is about. And it is when the Spirit of God is moving in you that you learn how to get excited about what God is doing, because you know that you have the answer to whatever ails you or the individuals to whom God allows to cross your path. This God that we serve is able to do incredible and impossible works. The angel said to the shepherds, "For you this day, I have good news with great joy for all people." Jesus was not just sent to one people group. He was sent to all of humanity. For anyone who would believe that God sent him, they then are able to receive the gift of salvation. And with the gift of salvation comes the gift of the presence of God. For we know that he said he will be Emmanuel, God with us. And when you trust in Jesus Christ, he said that I am going to give you myself to be with you. So not only do we receive salvation, forgiveness of our sins, but we receive the presence of the living God who lives in us, who walks with us, who talks with us, and who spends intimate time with us. Amen? I love this about God. He not only deals with our sins by forgiving us, but he gives us the power to be delivered from our sins by walking with us and saying that sin should no longer be your master. You under new management. You under the management of the Spirit of the living God. And when you're under management of the Spirit of the living God, that means that sin can no longer have dominion over you. The devil can no longer boss you around. Right now, you're the one in charge. All you got to do is open your mouth and say, "Get thee behind me." You've been defeated. You've been walked on. And I refuse to let a dead man rule my life. I'm connected to the living one, a living hope, Jesus Christ. Amen. When you and I understand what he has done for us, what he has given to us, it is as though you and I are filled with this inexpressible joy that we've got to get out and tell somebody about the good news of Jesus. Savior of the world, deliverer of mankind. Joy will make you open up your mouth and talk. Amen. 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 Let me share one more with you with regard to his coming. It's another very familiar one. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. You remember that with Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12? Excuse me, 11. Thank you. She's keeping me on track back there. Matthew 2, 1 through 11. Again, this was after Jesus had born, but there was this group that came because they followed a star. We call them the wise men. The Bible might refer to them as the Magi. But they showed up because they saw the star of a king and were moved to go see that king. Let me read this to you again as we think about the joy that happens at the coming of the Messiah. It says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go, search carefully for the child. And as soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. There it is. They were overflowing with joy. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They were overjoyed when they saw the child, and they opened their treasures in presenting him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Not only would joy make you leap, not only would joy make you talk and tell somebody about this Jesus, that your joy will make you open up your checkbook. Joy will make you open up your wallet. Joy, you pull out your credit card. Joy will make you go to Tithely and say, "Here it is. Here it is. I have seen the one my heart's desire. I have seen the one that God shows me, and he is worthy of worship. And I want to take what you have given me, and I just want to worship you, because you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords." You can't talk about you got joy and you don't give to the Lord. Uh-oh. We stand with the Bible. Stand with the Bible. Amen. That's what the Word of God says. I'm not even dealing with Malachi. Malachi, we'll get there. How will a man rob God? But you can't talk about you've got joy about Jesus, joy about Christmas, but yet you won't give unto the Lord. That does not go together. Because when you understand just how much he has given to you, ooh, you'll be like, "How dare I?" When you understand that what you got came from him. Can I just say it that way? Yeah. Any way you slice it, do you need me to undress it for you? You might say that you've got the job. Wait a minute. Who woke you up this morning? Okay, we're getting there. So it wasn't your alarm clock that woke you up. It wasn't, was it? Oh, okay. All right. So he woke you up. All right. When you had the functioning of your body, who did that for you? Oh, okay. All right. You might have the job, but wait a minute. If he didn't wake you up, if he didn't give you health, and if he didn't give you strength, what's your job? What? Now, you know how them jobs be treating you. You know how they do you. Now, we're going to give you some sick leave, but if you use too much of it, we gonna let you leave sick. Amen? Yeah, come on, y'all know I'm telling the truth. They'll keep you on full-term disability for a while. You know what? In other words, they'll pay you your rate for a while. If you've been sick too long, they're gonna say, "Oh,
No, we can't keep paying you like this. Because they be like, we want what they call a fair exchange. And so you might have the job, but you need to understand in reality that it is God's provision to you, having given you the health, having given you the strength, having given you the energy, having given you the mind to be able to process, having given you all the resources that you need to go and do the work. It is God who has allowed you to be in that place and to receive whatever it is that you are receiving from that particular place. And when you start to understand that it is God who gives you everything, it changes your perspective and attitude about what it is you receive. And you stop trying to hold on to it all for yourself. Because to be perfectly honest, he don't want it all. He said, just give me a little bit. He said, just a little bit. If you would just trust a little bit in my hands, you'll be surprised at what I can do with the little bit that you give me. You'll be better off living on the 90 than trying to live on the 100. He said, I can show you that I can do more with the 90 in my hands than you can do with the 100 in your hands. He says, what you got to do is trust me enough to believe that I can do everything that I promised I could do. So joy has this expression that says that, oh, God has been so good to me that I must worship him even with my giving, because that becomes my tangible expression of worship to him. It's not enough for me to leap and dance and be happy for the Lord. Praise God. You need to do that. Yeah, you need to have an expression of praise. It's not enough for me to tell others about who Jesus is, what Jesus has done. Yeah. You better go and evangelize and tell others. Go tell it on the mountain. You better go tell that there is a Savior and his name is Jesus Christ. He says, but you must have a physical, tangible expression of all that he has given to you. You must give back. Amen. If I had time, I'm going to refer to it. You can go and look at it. You remember the first murder in the Bible came because of worship. Two brothers, one was willing to give his best to the Lord. The other was like, God, you just take what I give you. God has always said, no. I set the rules. I set the standards. You abide by what it is that I am saying, and I will fill you with joy. In fact, he told that brother, look, get your attitude right, because sin is crouching at your door ready to overtake you. And if you get your attitude right, you can guard against sin. Listen, if you and I were to get our attitudes right about giving and worshiping the Lord with what we have, he'll help us deal with the sin that is crouching at our door. He'll help us deal with the sin of materialism. He'll help us deal with the sin of gluttony. He'll help us deal with all of that stuff, because we have chosen to make him first. And will fill us with a joy everlasting. So there was joy expressed by those who saw Jesus coming. There was joy that was expressed by Mary and Elizabeth while he was yet in the womb. Joy that was expressed by the shepherds and the angels when they saw the Christ child. Joy that was expressed by the Magi when they saw this child, Jesus, whom God had given. And finally, there will be joy at the return of Christ. Amen. Because we are also looking for his return, and we are to be overflowing with joy at his return. In Revelation chapter 19, those first 10 verses help you and me realize what it will look like when he comes back. Because he won't come back as a baby. He'll come back as a ruler. He'll come back as a conquering king. He'll come back as the rider on the white horse, leading in victory. And then in Revelation 19, and I want to read verses 5 through 10 for us, and we'll just stop right there because it summarizes for us what happens at the return of Jesus Christ. It says, then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, both great and small. And then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like the loud peals of thunder shouting, hallelujah! For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her to wear. And the fine linen, of course, stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. And this is where it gets good. And then the angel said to me, write this. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words of God. This then is at the coming of Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the ruler. And I want to just encourage you, go back and read chapter 19, Revelation chapter 19, because it unpacks for you and me the fact that when he comes, he's coming to rule, but he's coming to rule for you and for me. If your name has been written in the Lamb's book of life, you don't need to be afraid. You need to rejoice. For he has said that when he comes back, evil will no longer have its reign. When he comes back, sin will no longer have dominion. When he comes back, sickness will be put to bed. When he comes back, you don't have to worry about hunger anymore. When he comes back, he'll deal with your enemies and his enemies because he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so what you do at his coming is you rejoice. You overflow with joy because the one that you have been waiting on has showed up. And as they say, he is showing out. He is setting things right. In the place that he has prepared for you and for me, he has made ready. On his robe and on his thigh, he has the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You and I can rejoice that Jesus came, that he lived a sinless life, that he accomplished the will of God, that he warred against the devil and he won, that everywhere he went, he was destroying and defeating the works of the devil. And for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, which meant that when it came time for him to pay for our debt, he did not shrink back from doing what he was sent to do. He had defeated Satan in every dominion, in every sphere that he confronted him. Jesus won. Jesus never lost a battle. That was Deacon Drain praying earlier. He's the greatest of all time. That means that there is nobody like him. There has never been an opponent that wanted to face him a second time because he annihilated them. He defeated them. No questions asked. And then when death showed up, death thought it had thrown a knockout punch. But Jesus said, I ain't going nowhere. Because death did not have the power to hold him. And the same power that is at work between in you and in me was at work in him. For it said that God raised him from the dead. Death could not hold his grip on him. And brothers and sisters, you and I can rejoice because death could not hold its grip on Jesus. And if death could not hold its grip on Jesus, it cannot hold its grip on you. And so we rejoice because our names have been written in the Lamb's book of life. Why? Because we have believed that he came in the form of a human, in the form of a man. We have believed that he was sinless. We have believed that he died for our sins, but more importantly, that God raised him from the dead. And we, I believe that when he was raised from the dead, he went and took his place in heaven. Thanks be to God that you and I have his spirit living in us, which bears in us the fruit of the spirit. Therefore, we can have joy, unending joy, unyielding joy. Joy that is not based upon our circumstances, but is based upon the truth that the source of joy lives in us. And in the midst of every trial, in the midst of every circumstance, you and I can still rejoice and have joy. The people of God just said, hallelujah.